Out in the forest, there are creatures spoken in legend. Something lurking just out of the peripherals of your vision amongst the trees. A branch snaps, and a scream is echoed through the woods. Something is watching you. As your vision focuses on the creature walking away, you ask yourself, was that a Bigfoot? There are many myths and legends of wild men in the woods. The first account of these big hairy people date from as far back as the 15th century. While most sightings of Bigfoot occur in the Northwest, there have been sightings in at least every state of the US and all over the world. Different cultures have different accounts or perhaps relatives of this elusive cryptid. In the Himalayas, it's referenced as the Yeti. In Australia, it's called the Yowie. In Indonesia, it's the Ilbagogo. Canada, it's referred to as a Sasquatch. And as for the US, it is known as Bigfoot. So many different cultures with so many different names and characteristics. Thusly leading to the theory that it is not just a singular cryptid, but an entire species. According to first-person accounts of this cryptid, it's usually described as having skin or fur, the color of reddish-brown, black, or charcoal gray, with exposed hands and feet, an average height of 7'10", a foot size of at least 17 inches, and a maximum weight possibly of 2,000 pounds. Because first-hand accounts being mostly observed with little to no noise, it is thought to move relatively silent. According to the BFRO, or the Bigfoot Research Organization, Bigfoot are orderly. They stack rocks neatly to mark territory. Upon entering territory belonging to them, it is rumored to make low to high-pitched growls, grunts, howls, and screams. In 2006, Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum wrote and published a book called The Sasquatch, When Legend Meets Science. Within this book, he states the evidence that exists fully justifies the investigation and the pursuit of this question, does Bigfoot exist? Using his expertise in foot morphology, specifically on the movements of monkeys, apes, and hominids, he examined cast moldings of what was reported to be Bigfoot footprints. They measured 14 inches long, with some suggesting a running motion, and others actually showing skin swirls. To Dr. Meldrum, this was damning evidence due to his belief that this running motion would be hard to fake, stating these complex motions are not easily replicated naturally. Another believer in the Bigfoot myth is a retired zoologist named Dr. Wolf Herner Fehrenbach. It has been documented that he has done extensive analysis on over 800 footprints believing to be that of Bigfoot. Having said that Bigfoot's toes are elongated and having an alignment much like that of a human. Dedicating a good majority of his career and retirement to researching and finding evidence, his assessment of the creature's body weight at being 2,000 pounds is based on the size of his toes and heel against the width of the ball of the foot. It was once reported that he even told the New York Times, quote, "I've gotten so close, I was able to smell him," end quote. Saying that these Bigfoot creatures smell absolutely terrible, comparable to the odor of that of smegma. A compelling piece of possible evidence came in the form of a carcass being believed to be a Bigfoot. In 2008, two researchers from Atlanta purchased the frozen Bigfoot carcass from Georgia Bigfoot tour guide Richard "Rick" Dreyer and his business partner Matthew Wheaton. Unfortunately, after thawing and examining the remains, it was discovered to be a rubber gorilla suit made to resemble that of a Bigfoot. Because of situations like this, a majority of the scientists have historically discounted the evidence of Bigfoot, considering it to be a combination of folklore, misidentification, and hoax, rather than a living animal. Dr. Wolf Herner Fehrenbach, too, has dedicated his research to the verification of this cryptid. Dr. Fehrenbach has yet to identify verifiable Bigfoot DNA, but as far as 2006, there were at least 15 samples that he was unable to identify as being any other known animal. In 2012, a veterinarian researcher, Gloria Fisher, claimed to have sequenced Sasquatch DNA, stating, "It descended from human females who mated with unknown hominid males." In a book called Big Footprints, veteran researcher Grover Kratz discussed alleged Bigfoot hair, feces, skin scrapings, and DNA. The usual fate of these items is that they either receive no scientific study, or else the documentation that study is either lost or unattainable. In most cases where competent analysis have been made, the material turned out to be bogus, or else no determination could have been made. In 2014, an Oxford professor of human genetics led a team of researchers conducting a genetic analysis on a reported sample, once again being to believe to be Bigfoot's. Unfortunately, this too was a dead end due to the sample belonging not to humans, but a range of animals being that of dogs, bears, and humans. Once again, leaving those skeptical, further proof that Bigfoot is nothing more than a made-up ramblings of those ignorant of the native animals in their surrounding area, misidentifying them as being an unknown, unverified wildlife due to urban legend and folkloric hearsay. By far, the most common evidence for Bigfoot sightings is eyewitness reports. Unfortunately, this is also by far the weakest evidence because eyewitness testimony is notoriously unreliable and that people are simply not very good at accurately describing something they saw, especially something in the distance, under low light, and when the subject is partially hidden behind trees and foliage. They're usually almost immediately discredited. With that being said, one of the best forms of evidence was taken in 1967 when Roger Patterson, a Bigfoot hunter, along with his friend Bob Gimlin, also a Bigfoot hunter, filmed a home movie in Six Sticks Forest in Northern California and managed to capture the only footage of Bigfoot that has yet to be discredited or debunked as being a hoax. The footage shows a dark man-sized, man-shaped figure believed to be Bigfoot striding through a clearing along a riverbank, looking about in a curious manner. Dr. Meldum, after analyzing the footage, believed this to be authentic due to his observations of Bigfoot's muscle movements in the film. He furthered his beliefs in this footage by noting the ankles being key indicators that this could not possibly be a man in the costume. The movements are too fluid and not at all jagged or stiff, but natural as you or I. Most skeptics border on the idea that nowadays everyone has a camera, whether HD or their phones or other handheld devices, which have the capability of capturing motion and photo. This being the case, why has there not been any real evidence provided in the form of a photograph or a video that can be submitted as indisputable evidence? Photographs of people in cars, mountains, flowers, sunsets, deers, and everything else has gotten sharper and clearer. But Bigfoot is a notable exception. Virtually every photo of Bigfoot has been blurred or skewed in some manner. One possibility out there is that there is some sort of supernatural explanation, such as Bigfoot somehow emits a special unknown wave of light that inexplicably causes the beast to always appear out of focus in photographs, no matter how good the camera is. The more logical explanation suggests that these things don't exist, and the photographs of them are merely hoaxes and misidentifications. When a definite conclusion has been reached through scientific analysis, the samples has invariably turned out to be ordinary sources. Bigfoot hair turns out to be elk, bear, or cow hair. Bigfoot blood turns out to be transmission fluid. Sometimes, alleged Bigfoot samples are subject to DNA analysis and are deemed unknown or unidentified. However, unknown or unidentified does not mean Bigfoot. There are many reasons why DNA samples might come back unknown, including that it was contamination or too degraded by environmental conditions. Or it could simply mean that the animal it came from was not among the reference samples that laboratory used for comparison. We have no reference of a sample of Bigfoot DNA to compare it to, so by definition, there cannot be a conclusive match. In fact, genetics provides another reason to doubt the existence of Bigfoot. There cannot be just one elusive creature. There would need to be tens of thousands of them in order to be assured enough genetic diversity to maintain the species. With so many of them out there, surely at least one of these creatures would have been killed by a hunter or hit by a motorist on a highway, or even found dead due to accident, disease, or old age. At the end of the day, we, the Bigfoot community, remain to be divided into two camps, believers and skeptics. With the mindset of the skeptics being summarized in a quote given by anthropologist David J. Dangling, stating, Even if you have 1 million pieces of evidence, if all of that evidence is proven inconclusive, you cannot count it up to make something conclusive. Whereas, the mindset of those that believe, stating, it is unscientific to discount the plethora of evidence. Over the years, there have been possible castings of footprints, recorded calls, unidentifiable DNA, and first-person accounts and experiences. Until there is undisputed evidence that he does not exist, we will continue believing that he does. But it all really comes down to which side you believe. Is Bigfoot real? And if so, where's the proof? There are many species of animals that have yet to be discovered, and possibly far more that have yet to reveal themselves.